give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Tuesday to you, and it's voting day. It's election day all across our country. A lot of important races are taking place, and I hope you'll have cast your vote. If you haven't already, you'll do so today. I want to remind you, I read something earlier this week. It said, in 1645, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell control of England. In 1649, one vote caused Charles I of England to be executed. In 1776, one vote determined that English, not German, would be the American language. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1875, one vote changed France from a monarchy to a republic. In 1923, one vote gave Hitler control of the Nazi Party. And in 1960, Richard Nixon lost the presidential election to John F. Kennedy by one vote per precinct in the United States. Don't think, well, my vote doesn't count. My vote doesn't matter. Every vote matters. My friend, get out and vote. We have a wonderful honor and privilege to live in the United States of America, and we have the opportunity to make changes. And if you don't like the way things are going, we vote in somebody else, and this is the opportunity to do so, and I hope you'll take advantage of that today. Well, we had a wonderful start to our service last night, Sword of the Lord Conference on Revival and Soul Winning. Dr. Shelton Smith and Brother John Hamlin, excellent messages last night, and just a wonderful, wonderful start, and looking forward to tonight, and I hope you can come out and join us. 6:30 is the start time, and you will be blessed. All right? Listen, if your Bible's close by, we started yesterday talking about compassion. Compassion makes a difference. In the book of Jude, verses 22 and 23, Jude writes these words, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, we spoke yesterday a little bit about compassion, and we made a couple statements, and I urge you to go back and listen to that broadcast and get caught up if you didn't get to hear it yesterday. Compassion, we said, always takes responsibility for the need. We said compassion always involves willingness, always, and you have to be willing to help and to be compassionate. Jesus told the story about a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a journey of 18 miles. It was called the Bloody Way because it was a dangerous trip, and there were many steep and rocky passages. Kind of walking through a dark alley in some of our cities, or in anymore, it doesn't even have to be a dark alley, but walking down the street with $100 bills hanging out of your pockets. And we know the story, the Levite comes by and he doesn't help, and then a priest comes by and he doesn't help, and then a Samaritan comes by and he goes to him, has compassion on him. Goes to him, binds up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and then he puts him on his own donkey and takes him to an inn and tells him to take care of him. And then he gives money to the innkeeper and said, look after him and I'll be back after a while and I'll reimburse you any extra expenses. And then Jesus asked the question, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? Now, the one he said this to was a lawyer, and he couldn't bring himself to even say the word Samaritan. So he said, I suppose it's the one who had compassion on him. You see, these religious men, the Levite and the priest, they were not moved with compassion to take action. Now, they weren't malicious, and they didn't attack him, but neither did they attend to him. They ignored the problem. They were passive. Maybe they were fearful of touching the dead or being ceremonially unclean, but they just wanted to keep their preserve their purity, so to speak. It's just easier if they didn't get involved. So they chose not to do anything. So it's not what they did, it's what they didn't do. See, the opposite of compassion isn't hatred, but the opposite of compassion is indifference and apathy. Now, someone has said the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, during a time of moral crisis, did nothing. They passed by on the other side. They did nothing. Oh, they were good, but they were good for nothing. Compassion compels the Samaritan on behalf of the wounded. The innkeeper treats the problem professionally. He agrees to take care of the man, but for a fee. The hero of the story isn't the innkeeper. It was simply a business proposition for him. The hero is the Samaritan. You know, people are beaten and bruised and bleeding all around us. And how many times do we lack compassion? The majority of people in that story that Jesus gave lacked compassion. They lacked concern. They were not much different than the robbers who beat the guy and left him half dead. The Bible tells us that Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's so many all around us that are being beaten and attacked and robbed by the devil himself or his demons. They're laying half dead all around us. Satan has viciously thrown them down, stolen their self-respect, destroyed their dreams, messed up their thinking. People are badly wounded. They've been terribly used and abused in a world that lacks compassion. Our need is to recognize the wounded in our life. It's easy to see physical wounds, but do we recognize emotional, spiritual wounds? Numerous wounded people come to our churches only to be misunderstood and re-injured. So often churches, Christians shoot their own wounded. We misjudge them as rebels or cynics because they seem standoffish or unfriendly or weird. But you have to look beyond the surface and see people with wounded souls. They're wounded from physical abuse. They're wounded from spiritual abuse. Maybe they've had the pain of death or desertion or divorce in their life. Some have self-inflicted wounds from a lifestyle of sin or drug or alcohol abuse, homosexuality, adultery, whatever it may be. Some are wounded with the guilt and shame of pornography. Or they're brooding and angry because why? They're hurting, they're injured, they're not very friendly. And if we're not careful, we're like the priest and the Levite. Well, I'm busy. I don't have time. It's risky. I don't want to get involved. The question never, never should be for the Christian, is this dangerous or will it cost a lot? The question should be, is this something Jesus would do? Is it something God would want me to do? I think our prayer probably ought to be, Lord, let my heart be broken with the things that break your heart. Oh God, let my heart be broken with the things that break your heart. I'm telling you, compassion takes responsibility for the need, and compassion will always involve willingness. And then number three, compassion always compels us to act. As I said before, the Samaritan is the hero here because he solves the crisis. The lawyer here couldn't even bring himself to say the name Samaritan. Those stinking Samaritans, they scattered human bones in the courts of a temple in Jerusalem. A Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile, and they worshiped on the wrong mountain. To eat the food of a Samaritan would be akin to eating fried pork chops in the temple. Some rabbis prohibited anyone from helping a Gentile woman who was giving birth because they'd be helping one more Gentile come into the world. And the Samaritans were worse than the Gentiles. The point here is that the Samaritan provides aid to one who despised him. In John 8:48, when they wanted to insult Jesus the worst they could, they called him a Samaritan. But this story Jesus told, it was a Samaritan that had compassion on him. His heart went out to him. That word again is compassion. That emotion that comes from your gut, so to speak, from down deep within. And it compelled him to take action. He went and bandaged the man up and poured oil and wine on his wounds and put the man on his own donkey, took him to the inn and had him cared for. He took him to a safe place, the inn. And I believe that inn is a picture of the local church. What do you do when you get people and you bind up those wounds and you try to help them spiritually? You get them to a safe place where wounded people can get help. And that's the church. The church isn't a museum to display all our perfect Christians. The church is a hospital where the weak and the wounded can enter and find acceptance and safety from Satan and his demons of hell. It's interesting that this fellow didn't just walk up and miraculously heal the man. No, he didn't do that. Compassion is costly. It cost this Samaritan time. It cost him money. It cost him energy. Compassion is costly. See, can I remind you that it cost God his only begotten son? Jesus traveled that bloody way to the cross. He didn't pour in the oil and wine or bandage up his wounds, but shed his own blood. for you and for me who've been wounded by sin and selfishness. Now, let me leave you with three things about this compassion making a difference. Number one, open your heart. Open your heart. Ask God to show you what He wants you to see on the highway of life. Will you pray, Lord, let my heart be broken with the things that break your heart? Now, that's a dangerous prayer, and don't pray it unless you mean it, because it will take you to places you maybe thought you'd never go. Open your heart. Secondly, stop yourself from giving pat answers to people. Let every man, in James 1:19, let men be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear. Listen, 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 and listen some more. And you'll find there's hurting people. You'll find there's wounded and half-dead people all around. And number three, Romans 12:15, weep with those who weep. Don't preach at those who weep. Don't criticize those who weep. Don't run from those who weep. Just put your arm around them and weep with them that weep. You know, when Job had his problems, his friends came, and the Bible says for the first 7 days, they just sat down and was sat with him. That's it. And they didn't say a word. I wish they'd have stayed that way. Probably Job does too. But they began to talk, and they had all wrong advice. Bad advice. Just weep with them who weep. So open your heart. Don't just be ready to give pat answers. Listen to what people say and weep with those who weep. Compassion makes a difference. Christians with hearts of compassion are compelled to act on those, on behalf of those who've been stripped and beaten by Satan. A lack of compassion makes the priests and the Levites who walk by on the other side of the road whenever they see a mess. You know, it didn't mention this fellow's name who went over and helped the Samaritan, but I think I know what it is. It's likewise. Likewise. Jesus said, go thou and do likewise. Do likewise, and let's you and me have compassion. Jude wrote, of some, have compassion, making a difference. Let's have compassion today. Well, I appreciate you listening to Words to Encourage Radio, and we're enjoying our Sword of the Lord conference on revival and soul winning. First time I've had Dr. Shelton Smith in to preach, and he's been such a blessing, and he'll be preaching again this evening, and we hope you can come out and make it for the service at 6:30 tonight. Tomorrow, of course, will be Wednesday, and that'll be church night as well. We'll have our midweek service on Wednesday night, and we look forward to a delightful time together there as well, and that'll be our normal time of 7 p.m. with the children's groups meeting and everything else. And I'll say more about that when we get together for our broadcast tomorrow. Let me remind you that you can pick up these broadcasts on both iTunes and iHeartRadio. Go to podcast and type in Words to Encourage Radio, our Bible Baptist Church, Words to Encourage, and we'll pop up there. Go ahead and subscribe. It's free. And then it'll send you a notice when a new broadcast is up, usually about the next day. And then if you don't get a chance to hear it on air on the radio, you can always pick it up and listen at your convenience and not miss a broadcast. We appreciate those of you who email us from time to time or give us a phone call. We do pray for your needs, and we rejoice in your victories and in your blessings that God gives to you. And we appreciate so much from time to time those of you who support the radio broadcast, and we're very thankful for the gifts that you send our way. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and I'll look forward to being with you again on our broadcast tomorrow. Until then, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service, and on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We also host the RU Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people in our community. We meet every Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.